Today is Saturday, 19th April 2025, and we are gathered here for the 180th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English, conducted by Nisaran Wanaya. I would like to welcome Venerable Rohini for this session. We'd also like to welcome everyone who's participating with us today via Zoom, Facebook live stream, or whoever may be watching later. As usual, we will start the session with the in-session practice of mindfulness, and we will follow this with our talk on today's topic by Venerable Rohini, and we will then finally move on to any reports and questions towards the end. So now to begin the session, I invite Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Okay, Sonali, thank you. We will start in session practice with sitting meditation today. So I think last week you all did an activity. So today we will do sitting. So please sit comfortably and close your eyes gently. Keep your hands in a comfortable manner as well. Now, if you are comfortable enough, you might feel that your muscles everywhere is in a comfortable manner, no stress. So if it is there, any, you can loosen them. Just you can go through your body, we call it body scan, so from head to toes. The head, you can feel the head, neck, the shoulders, they are tight, you can release them, and your back. You may feel the hardness or softness of your seat. You may feel the bended knees, they are bending. If you keep your feet on the floor, you might feel it. Head, neck, shoulders, back, bottom, the thighs, knees, head. You may feel your eyes closed. You may feel your lips are tight together. Sometimes you might feel the tongue inside the mouth. If there are any aches or pain, you might feel it in your focus on face or upper body. You may feel the breath. The natural breath, the movement because of the natural breath, the tummy going up and down, the chest. Sometimes you might feel the breath near your nostrils. Time to time, you may hear my voice. If you feel the natural breath, you can focus on that. If you don't feel the breath, doesn't matter. Wherever you feel, like you are sitting. Anything prominent feelings is something for focus on. While you are trying to focus on your body, your mind will drift away with the thoughts. As soon as you know that your mind is with thoughts, you can bring your mind back to the main object, whatever you are keeping. Either breath, or the tummy movement, or whatever the prominent feelings. Your mind is drifted away, don't worry about it. Usually the mind will come back to the given object or the prominent object. It is the nature of the mind. So don't need to worry about drifted mind. You may notice that as long as you are with the body, you are free from thoughts. Thank you, everyone. Over to you, Sunali.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. We will continue the same topic we started last week, which was Mind Made. And to continue this topic, I'd like to invite Venerable Rohini again to do the talk on this topic.
Okay. Thank you, Sunali. Mind Made. And I think poster write-up is you are the inmate and the guard of the prison in which you are confined. So, okay, so that is the topic is a continuation of last week topic. I think except Sonali and me, you all have a good understanding of it after listening to last week talk. But this talk, maybe. So, however, life often feels like a body with two owners. If we consider this life, it always has two owners. One is an inmate, and the other is a guard. So, just before we had the kind of practice, mindful sitting. So while we practice that, whenever we are engaged with the body, whenever our focus is 100% with the body, there's no thoughts. So then we feel like relaxed. That is how we get relaxed, because there's no any thoughts, interrupting thoughts or manipulating thoughts. So when there's no thoughts, then we relax. So then the me or myself become a guard, not the prisoner, not the inmate. So what is happening, we burden ourselves with the chain of regrets, anxiety, negative self-talk, self-assessments, so on. A lot of negative thoughts. So most of the time, we burden ourselves with those thoughts. When the thoughts get ownership, we no longer have the guard, but instead are flooded with anxiety, fear, stress, uncertainty. All those are flooded. The walls of this prison we already built up is the stress and social expectations and the self-doubt, etc. So those are the walls. So with those walls, the stress and the social expectations mainly, and the self-doubt and unpredictable nature. So those are with those walls, we imprison inside. And those feelings are perception of our thoughts. How we perceive our thoughts is making us feel like anxiety, fear, or stress, or whatever it is. But unfortunately, there is a key to unlock this prison gate. Open to peaceful place. So that is mindfulness. So when we consider the mindfulness, it is a powerful tool. It's a very powerful tool to cultivate inner peace. So what the mindfulness does is it quiets the mind and fostering the awareness. So whenever we are aware whatever we are doing, and then the mind get quiet. Otherwise, it is always chatting and chatting and chatting. So we call it inner chatting. So most of the time, actually the inner chatting abuses us mostly. So whenever we are not focused on our body, or whenever we are not focused on whatever we are doing, all the time the inner chatting is overcome, and we are in prison. So by quieting the mind, usually you engage with the free world. It is really, really approachable, and there is the way. So the way is the mindfulness. So whenever you are not, whenever you are mindful, or whenever you are not mindful, you are in a prison, or you are in inmate. As long as you keep your mind quiet, you are the guard of your mind. So if not following the thoughts, or if we are avoid following those thoughts, whatever the perception gives the thoughts, if you don't want to, or if we want to avoid them, so we need to find, or we need to follow the four foundation of mindfulness. So usually what we do, we observe the body. So that is how we get the observing breath. So not only the breath, if you observe your walking meditation, is then the body, the posture. So the walking is one of the posture, from four postures: sitting, walking, lying, and standing. Those are the four postures. We can use all four postures for practicing mindfulness. Whenever you are focused on that postures, then you are free from that perceptions, free from those thoughts, free from those feelings, the mental feelings. So then you are in a free world. It is approachable. How you approach it is through the mindfulness. So observing body is one, as the breath is one of them, and the posture is another one, and sub postures mean when you sit, and when if you want to change the posture, although you are still sitting but you want to change it, then there is a sub postures. You need to stretch your legs if you are sitting on the floor, and then you have to bend it in another way. You know, there are so many sub postures. If you can be mindful on those sub postures, it is also good. And there are some other ways to be mindful on your body. It's like we call it in Iriyapata Sandhi in Pali. It's a kind of clear comprehensions. So all those are keeping your mind engaged with the body, to avoid the thoughts, to avoid the unnecessary thoughts. So also we can use to observe the pain as well. So pain may be pleasurable pain. Sometimes it is painful and it is unpleasurable pains. And there are some neutral pains. Whatever the pain, you can observe it. Sometimes the unpleasurable pains are very difficult to observe if it is so painful. But unless we can observe pain. So when we observe pain, that's also we are avoiding the unnecessary thoughts. So whenever we are engaged with those things, we are trying to be mindful on body reactions or the pain, then we can, and we know by knowledge, we are our own knowledge, we know there are some places, or there is a place where we can be free from all unnecessary thoughts. That is the free world, actually. That this free mind is not intact life, intact in life as a permanent thing. What we need to do, we need to practice again and again to keep it in front line. Otherwise, we miss it. As soon as we miss the practice, then thoughts, the negative thoughts especially, overcome our free mind, and it changed the positions from guard to prisoner. So then what we need to do, we need to practice in another level. What we need to observe, the another level means we need to observe thoughts and feelings. If we can observe thoughts and feelings, then whenever we are in, for example, if we are doing multitasking, so if you do a lot of work in simultaneously, stirring the curry and washing the dishes, and you know, a lot of things work doing. So when you are having, or when you are doing multitasking acts, and whenever you have the negative thoughts, if you are having frustrated anxiety or fearful or the angry thoughts, also you can't be mindful. It's so hard to be mindful during those periods. And as well as when you have busy life with people or places or wherever, you can't be mindful with the body. So it is so hard. So in those circumstances, you need to find some other ways to be mindful. But your thoughts are there. You know your thoughts are there. Although you can't be mindful with your body at that time, or a negative thoughts especially, you know your thoughts are there, and if you can observe those thoughts, then it is a plus point. Because when it is a very, very negative thoughts are happening all the time, so it is so flooding, and if you can't focus on your bodies, usually you can, sometimes you can't. So when you can't, you need to have kind of ability, or you need to have a kind of practice to focus on thoughts. That is something you can gain by practicing mindfulness. If not, what will happen? So you will entrapped again in the prison of thoughts. Automatically you are being a prison of your thoughts. If you don't observe, you will be overwhelmed by flood of thoughts. So being aware of your thoughts and feelings without getting caught up in them is the next step in releasing your imprisonment. Otherwise, what we will do, or what will happen, we catch up with the thoughts and feelings, and we are again prisoner in our own lives. So for true inner peace, we need to require, we need to practice holistic approach that incorporate with other skills, like I said, observing the breath, rather than only observing the breath, also observing the thoughts and other emotional feelings. So that is so important in our practice. Sometimes when the negative feelings are there, when the negative thoughts are there, we can't be kind to ourselves. The self-compassion is always not with us. We very happy to pay compassion towards other people. Mostly we are very engaged with those things, and we like to say that also. Also, I'm a very not the self-compassion, but the compassionate person. So we like to say that. But if you dig down, you are not compassionate enough yourself. The self-compassionate is not there. Treating with kindness and understanding and accepting the imperfections within you, like accepting your abilities and inabilities and weaknesses and strengths. So those are the ones you need to focus on when you consider the self-compassion. Otherwise, always you feel like, otherwise you feel anger most of the time. Even very little things make you angry. So whenever the angry is playing around your mind, playing in your mind, so then you are in a real, real prison. So no escape from there, because at that point you can't observe your bodily actions, because they are so wavering mind. It's so hard to focus. And the other thing is, if you can't focus on your positive positive aspects of your life, appreciating your life, sharing your life with other people and things. If you can't do that, that positive energy, you will not build up your positive energy within you, or you will not make positive background clips within you. So if you don't have a positive background clips, then always the negative background clips are running in background. That means whatever happened, it's good or bad, you take it as negative. So that is also because if you are not gratitude, if you don't focus on gratitude, if you are not gratitude enough for yourself, that will happen. And the other thing is forgiveness. If you don't, or if you can't forgive yourself for some reasons, sometimes you can't. We always like to forgive other people. So usually we don't let go of resentment or any anger towards yourself. But the other self is always, you say, okay, I will forgive him or I will forgive her because of many, many reasons. You can say many, many reasons to forgive him or forgive her or forgive them. But forgive me or forgive yourself is so hard. It is very hard if you go into your mind in depth. If you dig down, then you will find it because most of the time you keep a little bit in your side inside as a resentment or anger. So if you are not forgiving, that's also that kind of anxiety, stress, and all those things will run in your background or in your mind. Always that those thoughts will run. So that means you are in a prison naturally if you are not following this. And also the meaningful connections are helpful as well. If you are connected with friends and family, they are favorable to you, and the wise people like Kalyana Mitta. So then also that will help you to have a good background thoughts. So with the good background thoughts, you are able to focus on your body most of the time. When you are focused on your body most of the time, that means you are not in a prison. You are the guard, not the prisoner. So that is what I wanted to say about those the qualities that you should consider while you are practicing your mindfulness. But these qualities gradually will establish or will develop within you when you are mindful. We call it like intrapersonal skills. You are aware of yourself, you know who you are, what kind of things you make you angry, what kind of things make you sad, you know you are. But the thing is to have a lasting inner peace. Those things definitely will affect. So mindfulness can develop these qualities. But what I want to say is that we need to integrate the other things with the mindfulness into daily life to assist achieving or to establish lasting inner peace. Think about it like a seed. So if there's a seed, it needs some nourishment for growth, like sunlight, air, fertile soil, water, all those things are necessary for flourishing. Similarly, inner peace requires a combination of practice and a deliberate effort to cultivate peaceful taste state of mind. So while you are practicing, one other thing I want to say, while you are practicing, if you can observe your reactions, like just imagine if you are doing meditation and a memory of someone who hurt you pop up. So now you are thinking of that person. So the thoughts are flooding about that person. So instead of getting caught up in that anger or the simply, if you can observe it, then you can notice the tightness and the chest is going up and down so fast and the racing heartbeat and the thoughts are flooding over your mind and the awareness is there then. If you notice those things, the awareness is there. When the awareness is there, then you naturally detach from that emotion. So the thing is, it's hard to be aware of those things if you are not mindful enough. If you are mindful enough, then whenever that is happen, you can be aware of those simple changes in your body. So those changes are happening in your body. So accordingly, your thoughts are changing. So then if you realize it, if you understand it, if you're aware about it, then very easily you can detach those thoughts from the emotional states. Also, if you can understand the source of those thoughts, like if you continue to have that kind of angry thoughts, if you note the observation is only about the angry thoughts, then you can notice because of injustice you had to face, or if, because of any betrayed, or because of any something you deprived is causing this observation. So if you can find that source, what is the reason for this thought? Yes, I remember that person, and what has happened is remember why is that force, why is that incident come to my mind? So if you can find the cause of the incident or cause of this kind of angry feeling right now, then it is easy to get rid of. Because if you can see the source, then you can look at it in an objective point of view, not like subjective, not like related to yourself. You can distance it and you can look at it. So then you can realize sometimes, not always, you can realize that a person is not acted in a certain way because of his angry feeling, or not because of the cruelty, but maybe it's a pain or limitations because of his emotional limitations. Whatever it is, we can justify it. So if you can find the cause, then it is easy to justify. Then what has happened, then it is easy to letting go. So usually we talk about letting go, but it is very hard to let go. So for letting go, you need to find the source of the incident. Why it is happening again? Why am I bothered about it again? So that the cause is well known, or if you understand the cause, then it is easy to witness the anger without judgment. So then it is easy to loosen the grip also with the anger. So in this way, if you cultivate the compassion and empathy, then you know that sometimes you can even find, even though you are trying to be angry with that incident or that person, only you are hurting yourself, not the person. Because he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, or they don't know about what you are thinking. Only you know what you are thinking, and you are the one who is suffering. So you will find, if you proceed in that way. So first you feel the sensation, you feel the thoughts are changing, and when you realize it, if you can find the source of it, and then if you find the other person's perspectives, then it is easy to let go. Then it is easy to realize what is happened and what kind of burden is in my mind. So in that sense, you can kind of relief from prison is happening. And the other thing is embracing the forgiveness. So the acceptance and the peace cultivate usually with the mindfulness. Whatever happening around you are trained to have accept it. You tend to accept it. You tend to accept means you are in a peace. If you are not trained to accept, if you are not trying to accept, at least you are not in peace. You are always in a struggle in that sense. So the inner peace can create space for forgiveness if you can accept it. In the other way, sometimes maybe some people think that forgiveness is kind of like ignoring hurtful feelings, a hurtful action. But it is not kind of ignorant. It is like choosing to release the anger or resentment that keep you in a like a captive, like in a prison. So if you can understand that, the forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. So allowing you to heal and move forward, you have to have that forgiveness. While you are still, I'm talking about while you are doing sitting meditation. So you, if you practice this while you are doing sitting meditation, then you can carry on this into the day-to-day life. So mostly day-to-day life, you have to feel or you have to look at those things, because we always trying to find or we always trying to escape from those loopholes, but always be trapped in there. Because we think, okay, we can manage and we can be mindful, and whatever the thoughts come, or maybe it is negative or maybe it is painful, but still I can. Sometimes we feel like that, but still, if we are not mindful enough, if we are not mindful about the bodily actions, then we are mostly we lose or we lost in the among thoughts. So to avoid those incidents, we need to be mindful about our bodily actions or body whatever we do. So in that sense, we need to practice walking meditation and sitting. That is more important things, because that is the most usable postures in our life. But out of 24 hours, we usually either we are in a standing posture or walking or sitting is the more prominent postures. So if we can, for example, when we are doing kind of multitasking acts, still if you are in a standing posture, you can time to time, not all the time, but time to time, you can come back to the standing posture and observe it. So time to time you can observe how you feel in your palms. So whatever you hold, so you feel it. So time to time you can observe it. So not throughout the act, not throughout the action, not throughout the activity, but time to time you can come back to the body and observe it. Time to time you can come back to the posture and observe it. Whenever you observe the posture, whenever you observe your bodily actions, you are free from thoughts. Then there is no thoughts as long as you are with the body, as long as you are with the action, as long as you are with the activity. So sometimes people are, sometimes the Satipatthana children or even grown up, they ask, how can we do, how can we mindful while we are doing some activities? So we are to keep our mindfulness. They always ask that question most of the time. So what we say, whatever we do, we usually use either our palms or our feet. Usually we either we in a standing posture or walking or sitting, and while any action, any activity we do with the hands. Even very simple things also we use our hands. Even when we are working in the computer, still we need to hold the mouse. Still we need to hold other things. So whenever we are active for any other work, still we can use mindfulness on our palms. How you feel? How do you feel? Or in your palms. It is definitely because always we need to use it. So likewise, whatever you do, you can use bodily feelings to keep the mindfulness. As long as you are mindful with your body, that means you are no longer entrapped in your with your thoughts. Whenever you are not entrapped with your thoughts, that means you are free from the prison in simple tense. You are not in entangled with stress or anxiety or fear or the anger or anything. If you are in that position, if you are feeling any angry feelings or any anxiety or stress or any kind of negative feeling, that means you are not with the body. So sometimes you can't come back to the body with the negative feeling. If they are so strong, if it is very it's definitely, if it is very strong, it is very hard to be mindful, or it is very hard to focus on the body. So at that time, that is what I said, if you are kind enough, or if you are compassionate towards yourself, if you have any compassionate towards yourself, just be mindful on thoughts. So just be aware those thoughts are changing my bodily actions, changing my bodily feelings, changing my body temperature. Maybe it is changing the heartbeat. So you can observe those things. Is it still you are with the body? But you are engaged with the mind thoughts, that the thoughts are making hard feelings towards you. It is so hard, but still you can feel it with the body. So if you can find those feelings, whatever the thoughts gives you the changes, it doesn't matter. So if you can find if you are aware of those feelings, the redness or the flooding blood towards your face, the heartbeat is raised and you are getting warmer, so then you know it is the angry feeling. So likewise, all the emotional feelings gives you something related to your body. There are some actions. There are some feelings related to your mental feelings. So if you can aware, if you know that these feelings are related to my thoughts, then you can avoid, like before I said, you can understand, or you can be aware about the thoughts or feelings through your bodily changes, and then you can aware the source of the thought, or what the reasons of the thought, and then you can compassionate towards yourself or forgive yourself for the other people, and then you can, I'm not saying easily, but you can try to loosen the grip with that hatred feelings or whatever the negative feelings. So likewise, if you practice in this manner, mindfulness is a very necessary or very good tools to liberation. And by consistently practicing mindfulness, any individual can gradually dismantle the mental barriers that usually confine us in prison. Mindfulness also empowers individuals to regain their control over their lives. Like you can be a guard instead of prisoner. And also you can transform the prison into a sanctuary, peaceful sanctuary. It is like a beautiful garden with flowers and everything. It's a sanctuary. And also it allows the prisoners or the ourselves and the guard, so we can interchange with the understanding and with the knowing, so we can coexist harmoniously, the guard and the prisoner. So we need to understand both of them are with us, in me. My mind sometimes act like a prisoner when it is overcome with the thoughts. Sometimes it acts like a guard when we are mindful. And the mindfulness also need to remember. Sometimes people ask, okay, I am mindful, I'm practicing mindfulness for 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 3 months, 3 years, or so on. But well, nothing is happening, or sometimes they claim like that. So I need to understand that it is not a magical solution, but practice. Need to do again and again. Approach is need to overcome the inner challenges. So you need to be aware that practice is the most important thing. Do again and again, not only limited to sitting or walking, also day-to-day activities. And if you can't focus on day-to-day activities with the multitask, but still you can observe your thoughts. So if you can observe your thoughts through your body, so use any kind of mindfulness practice. Even you can use mindful listening practice. It is the most important thing in daily life, as a lay people especially, for us also. If you are not listening enough, or if you are not a good listener, there's a lot of troubles in there. The bad communication is the most of the most trouble, initiator of the most trouble is lack of good communication and bad listening. So, saying that, thank you for everyone. I'm trying to finish. Hiya. Thank you, Sonali, and thank you, Tarindu.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. We should also all learn to be more mindful and kind to ourselves, to be a guard and not a prisoner, as you said. So next on the agenda we have is our reports that we have received and also the questions and answers. To conduct this session, I'd like to invite Panchani to
Hello, everybody. Thank you, dear Manuel, for your wonderful talk on how to be a guard and not to be a prisoner. I would like to share the guidance that Nisarwanya has prepared, two YouTube videos. I'm sure Sonali will share the link with you to guide you with your practice, one for mindful sitting and one for mindful walking. You can allocate a small period of time during your day to start practicing mindful sitting and mindful walking. You can continue until you complete 2 hours of each practice. You can write down your practice as a reflection report, as questions or statements. You can write it under titles of mindful sitting, mindful walking, or mindfulness during the day. You can describe your sensations that you feel when you're sitting, you're walking, when you're walking, the sensations that you feel under your feet or anywhere else in your body. You can describe the texture of the ground, the pressure points of the soles, how the body weight has shifted from one leg to another. You can describe your outgoing and incoming breath, how your nostrils are racing, your abdomen race, rising, falling, etc. You can email your reports to beginners@gmail.com or send it as a Google form. You can continue your mindfulness practice according to the advice given for your report during the session by Venerable Rohini or by Venerable Banthe. Recordings of the sessions are also available at the link given. So I will now share with you the one report that we have received for today. Manuel, I'm going to read it now. Therwan Saranai. When I started to write the report, initially nothing arose to be written, even though some points were kept in memory. It's like being fully present to what's going on, but words cannot express it. Regarding living with family, After living alone for some time, below points were observed. Number one, when it feels like near to leave the family for a new place, the inner chatter worries about how to tell the family that I am to leave. But till I get a place, the inner chatter worries about being with an unmatching family. So this fooling game has been noticed many times in different situations. All of these happening far away and in blur mode, those like subtle but still noticeable. Number two, one part of suffering happens by not accepting what is happening. And each has their script like this should happen this way. With the practice, it tends to accept what is there, while sometimes objections are being faded away in the situation. Because I like it or not, things just happen. Number three, it points out that each one works believing that they are correct, depending on their understanding of things. So sometimes it's like being in others' shoes to understand them. But where it makes energy draining, it takes steps to keep the distance. Teruan Saranai. End of the report.
Thank you, Panchini. Report. Something related to our topic as well, ne? So inner chatting and not accepting the objections or whatever the feelings. Yeah, so that's a good one to the topic. It's really very, very related. So inner chatting is the one we are engaged with, we are entrapped with actually. So usually they are not anyhow we are not related. So even though we are thinking of in according to this report, so being with how to say my the movements or how I tell them what I am going to do is something that we usually we worry about, you know. So because we think, okay, that people think like this and these people think like that and they will blame me and they, you know, all those are all the thoughts, all the thoughts that are covered with or flooded with negative feelings. None of them are positive. They are not saying that they are not worrying, or someone, you know, this person is not worrying about, okay, they will be happy. He or she is worrying about, but they will not happy. They will blame me. They will not accept me. So that is what the person is thinking. So always we are inner chatting. We are not care about inner chat with as long as they are positive. Then there's no complaint at all. It is not last long also if it is a positive one. Whenever the inner chatting is related to or biasly negative, then we complain about it and we going on and on the same thought, same pattern. We entrapped in those same pattern because of this negativity. So we like that negativity actually. Usually all human, they like the negativity. Just look at your past, even from the childhood, you remember all the negative things, most of negative things you remember rather than the positive things. So that is how we going on and on in this samsara, because all the negative things are the one we carry on from time to time. We remember those things and we like to ruminate. Actually, we like to ruminate those feelings. We like to ruminate those thoughts, thinking again and again, what will say, what will be, will happen. And but in here also says the accepting the current situation, whether I am like or not. The whoever write this note, Or she said that whether I like it or not, the things will happen. So that acceptance is there also. That is a very good thing actually. As long as you can accept whatever happening outside, you are free from those thoughts. You are free from that prison. As long as you can accept it. The acceptance, inside the acceptance, the word, there is a forgiveness, there is a acceptance, there is a acknowledgement, everything is there. So if you can accept whatever happened, you are open-minded. You open heart for everything, for anything. So then you are free from all those entrapped thoughts. So in here, the second paragraph is like that. So it is a combination of entrapped thoughts and the negative thoughts and the positive without judgment thoughts also. So nice, good reflection actually. Thank you for reading and thank you for sending us the report.
Thank you, Venerable Manuel, for your lovely feedback. That's all the reports we've received today. So I hand over to Sonali the rest of the session.
Would you like to conduct a question and answer session?
Yeah. If anyone does have any questions about session today, please raise your Zoom hand. And Venerable Manuel will do your do her best to guide you. If anyone does have any questions, please raise your Zoom hand. This looks like no questions today. Everyone's happy.
That's good because in all of them may be in a happy mood with the Easter holidays and and here weather is not good, but maybe you, wherever you are, weather is good.
Venerable Manuel, I would just like to just add a comment. It's not a question. What has stopped with me is with the acceptance, it's the fighting against the situation that I'm faced with currently. So that has stopped. So because there's no fight, I feel a lot of freedom. So there's things happen. I mean, obviously, I don't, there's likeness and dislikeness is still there. I mean, I haven't overcome that yet. So things are happening. I don't like it, but I'm not fighting it. Yep. So therefore, there's more freedom.
Yeah. So accepting, kind of acceptance is there. Still not fully accepted, but acceptance, the beginning of acceptance is there. You are not fighting means sometimes you can do like, you know, I'm not fighting, but the grudge is still in you, inside your mind. It can be. But you need to dig down and find out what is the source. Now it is there any source? Is there any reasons? Is there any covered, hidden agenda within me? Sometimes you keep quiet with the agenda. So you need to find it. You need to dig down your mind. And because if you can accept it, it's very hard. To be honest, it is very hard to accept when there's a grudge or when there is any fight or any conflict, the intense conflict. It's very hard. But if you are practitioner, you can come back to the body always. So whenever you have that upraised mind, then your body feeling is changed. It's always changed. If you are mindful enough in your body, if you can come back to the body and if you be mindful, aware about your body, then you will find those changes whenever the negative feelings arise. So that is one way of be mindful. Only by being mindful, you can't avoid those things. Actually, it is hard. mental feelings. So they are usually they give you more pain than the physical feelings. So, but still, whatever you need to do, you need to come back. The most important thing for me, if the situation is like that, I will dig down my mind. I will go down, down, down to the root. So either you will find it is my karma, or either you will find it is not the karma, maybe right situation. So whatever it is, then you will find the answers. The
Yeah,
most
sometimes. Yeah, carry on, Manu. Carry
important thing is you need to forgive yourself. Rather
on.
than forgiving other person, you need to forgive yourself. Sometimes when you come to karma, the cause is karma, sometimes you don't forgive yourself. That should not do. Because the karma is whatever happened past. The karma means whatever you did past is coming back. So you can't change it. So you don't need to be frustrated about it, and you don't need to not to forgive yourself for that. Because it has gone. It is already past. So you don't need to. What you need to do is you don't make any other karma, any newcomer upon that. That is the most important thing. That is why we need to be mindful to avoid that, to avoid happening newcomer.
Sometimes, Manu, I feel like society is saying not to attach to certain people. But what they're asking is actually it's about aversion. They're saying if you don't attach, like if you don't accept you attach to that person, you can't. What they're saying is to have hatred towards them. You know, it's not about that. It's about unconditional love, isn't it? It's about not having aversion, not having anger.
Yeah, it's not only yourself, you know. Then nobody can judge. And if
Yeah.
someone is judging, that means that person has something wrong. So nobody can judge anybody. So only you can judge yourself. That's why I said that you need to dig down. Anyone. So need to dig down to yourself, not others' mind, not others' actions. Whenever you do that, whenever you going to judge other people or other things or other anything, so that means something wrong with your mind. So something wrong with the idea, something wrong with the attitude. Yeah, you said you are right. So you don't need to judge or you, yeah, not at all. Who we are to judge someone else?
Yeah.
There are some people good. The last week, I went to my temple. The temple has a very elder monk. I mean, elder means not the age-wise, but the how do you call it? Was the seal-wise. So I talked with him. We had a discussion about the situation, current situation, the social environment, and all those things. What he said is, in the society, there are very few good people, and there are very few bad people. In between, there are many, many people with good and bad. So how can we separate those people? We can't. Sometimes they are, even us, we are sometimes good, sometimes we are not good. So how can we judge others? If I look at myself, I can't say I am 100% good. Nobody can say. So if we have something in our eye, even though it is a tiny one, still we have something. So compare with that, we can't judge, and we don't need to judge, and we should not judge. In the society, sometimes we have to. You need to select some people to be friend with, to be associate with. That all depends on how they react with you. You don't need to judge. If they're giving you hard feelings all the time, Just give up. Because sometimes panchari may be panchari good for me, but maybe not good for someone else. So also depend on the other person. There are many, many factors to consider. So good statement, Panchani.
Thank you, Manu. If anyone's not got any questions or not raising their Zoom hand, I'm going to ask Anali to take over.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Venerable Rohini, and thank you, Panchani, for conducting that. So we do have some time, however, it looks like no one has any questions. So we might be able to finish the session a little early today. Well, I'd like to thank everyone who has sent reports or contacted us in any way. Just a quick reminder that we would love to hear from you about any topics you'd like to discuss in the program. If there is anything like this, please message me or send it while on the session. You can message us or write to us at beginnersnv@gmail.com. and tell us that you'd like to listen to, like to hear this topic being discussed or talked on in the session. So on behalf of the organizers, I would like to thank Venerable Rohini for taking on today's session, and also our usual guide, Venerable Homagava Dhammakusala Thero, for his continued guidance as well on this program. We can't forget the Chief Abbot of Nisaranawanaya, Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhammajeva Mahathero, whose idea was to start this program. And we would like to all hope that all of them would take this merit and improve their own practice as well. And many thanks to all the organizers who are working really hard behind the scene to bring you this program as well. And thank you to everyone who participated via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and anyone who may be watching later. So as usual, we will have our program at 1 p.m. in Sri Lankan time next Saturday as well. So I will wish everyone a happy and mindful week ahead. I will now end the session for everyone.